I don't have that thing on this morning, guys. I was going to stay put. I appreciate you trying to turn on the wireless mic, but I don't got it today. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, beautiful songs, beautiful music this morning. I am thankful for fathers. Amen? Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to, I'm going to go to Psalms 11. We're going to use our Bibles, if that's all right today. Amen. Move them a little bit, and I'm going to stay put. If I take off running, try to follow me. Amen. I'll just get loud because I didn't put the wire on so I could stay close today. I had a lot of people say they couldn't hear me the last couple of times. What they did hear, they could get. And so I'll try to stay in front of the mic so that you can hear me this morning. I want to say thank you to my dad. Amen. I have a great one. And I hope I can say with all you men, I appreciate the song. I have a great father, God, and he has been so good to me in this life. Amen. But I had earthly daddy who invested in my life and just, I mean, amen. That song about the potter, I'll say I've had an earthly father who taught me how to work and loved me and took me to church and gave me a good spiritual father, a father in the faith that helped me along and taught me to be a soul winner and taught me a lot of things about the ministry, amen. And I'm thankful for that. And I have a great heavenly Father, amen. And what a blessing it is to be able to look up to our heavenly Father and try to do our best to guide our homes and the way he guides the church and his ministry. I'll say this, and hold your spot in Psalms 11. I feel like this is a little bit, I don't think it's off topic, but I want to preach a message on familiar fathers. Familiar fathers this morning, but I do believe to lay the foundation, for my first point, I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3:15. It may seem like it's out of place. I hope it is not as we preach this morning. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we will read the verse there in just a moment. I would like to pray as you turn. We'll let you give you a minute to be there. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15. Let's pray together and feel free to continue to turn and find your place. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for the Father that you gave me on this side of heaven. And I thank you for the spiritual men and been fathers to me in this life. God, I pray, would you burden my heart to preach this morning, God? Help me to get out of the way and help cure my emotions. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have free reign with this body that you've given me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray, God, that familiar fathers would be seen, and God, in our nation when there are so many that are fatherless and there are so many, God, that the moral standard of our nation has been degraded. God, I pray that your glory would be seen in the message. And if there is one today that does not know Christ as Savior, that today my Father in heaven would become their Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, I want to deal with just a quick subject before we launch off, because I think that this is important and I don't believe everybody understands it. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Morals, if I could say this, the word moral or being or morality is the dealing or what is right and what is wrong. That is found and it's fundamentally found in the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, the Bible. The world that we live in this country, when we wake up and we realize that the world is immoral, it is because it no longer holds to the moral standard of the Word of God. I plan to preach a message, and the very first point is of our familiar fathers are the founding fathers of our nation. And I believe this, that if you don't get this point down and understand a little bit about moral standard coming from the Word of God, then you won't get what I'm going to try to preach this morning. But I want you to understand this, the church, the pillar and ground of the church, and I said this Wednesday, and I will repeat it again, everything that calls itself a church is not a church. And that is not just because of false doctrine or other things that are out there, but primarily it's because that Jesus came and started a church. Amen. And it birthed many churches. It is marked not only by the dispensation in which it exists, but also by the doctrine which it practices in this dispensation. I know those are from very deep words, but I want you to understand that in this time period, not everybody that has ever been saved is a part of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And again, I want to just say that there will be at that Lamb, that great supper that I cannot wait to get to on the other side, that's on the spiritual side, when Jesus comes back and takes those with him to sit at that marriage supper, there will be saved people all over the place. But there will be witnesses, and there will be those that are a part of the wedding. And I encourage you, if you don't understand that, there's a plenty of stuff out there to study and to get a hold of that. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but if you don't understand that there's a separation between saved people and the church, can I just say there are saved people that aren't in here this morning in Haines City? There are saved people that have never been through the baptistry, all right? And I'm here to tell you, listen, I'm telling you that there's a church that God desires to present to himself, Jesus Christ, that is pure, spotless. Spotless being purchased by his blood, but pure in doctrine. Amen and amen. That's not popular, folks. Amen. We've always believed that. All right. You know, I know what some of you are thinking. That's Baptist Brider. I do not believe that only Baptists will be in the bride of Christ. I believe there will be Paulicians and Waldensians and every other thing that they tried to call us through the ages. You realize that even Baptist isn't a name that we chose for ourselves, but was placed on us by the enemy of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever, listen, I'm a Big B Baptist. I'd like to keep the name. But you know what? The world's going to call us something else down the road. Amen. The Lord leaves us here long enough, we'll probably be called something else. Amen. Probably, you know, we'll be called, those that are anti-COVID, or I don't know what they're going to call us. They're going to call us something down the road that we're against everything that the world is for. And that is true because we, and I'm trying to get this point, we have morals. We believe what the Bible says is right, and what it says is wrong is wrong. All right, I want you to understand that the world is full of humanistic, which means they worship themselves, and that means whatever they deem is right, and whatever they deem is wrong. Can I just say, I believe that homosexuality, sodomy, or whatever you want to call it, is wrong. It doesn't matter what a humanistic world believes is right and wrong. It doesn't matter what they try to preach and try to cram down the throat of God's people, or call free speech or civil rights. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. It's immoral. Our founding fathers, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 11. I think we've laid a good foundation. We may be able to go from here. Psalms chapter 11, verse number 1. Psalms chapter 11, verse 1. I'll say this, amen. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. They may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I preached a message a little bit out of this area, but let me say, we call a group of our very familiar fathers the founders of our country, founding fathers. Amen? Amen. We understand that. We call them founding fathers for a reason. Because they had some influence. They were the ones that carried the burden. They paved the way so that we could have the freedoms of today. And now, if we're not careful, when everybody, instead of standing up for what we believe is right and for our founding fathers who stood and bled and died for what we hold dear, for just the freedoms that we have, if we're not careful, careful. We're going to let a bunch of Johnny come latelys come and stomp and trample what they planted for us and their true intent, because we'll flee to the mountains and let the world have this thing. And we'll run away from everything. It says here, that's what, listen, I'm here to tell you, it's in the Lord I put my trust. I'm not looking to a president or the next election, but it's God's people, his church, the pillar and the ground of the truth that needs to propagate the morality of this world. We need to stand up from the mountaintop. If we go to the mountain, it's only to say, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That the book says it's still wrong. The book says it's still right. We need, as God's people, to stand up for what we believe, because everyone else is standing up for what they believe. They're ready to ramshod over top of every one of us who believe that there are still some things that matter and that people shouldn't do. Listen, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court, just like they tried to impeach a president. We might have thought that guy was going to be something, but over this last decision of civil rights, God's people should stand up and clean house and ramrod and impeach every one of those sorry people that are up there wearing dresses. You cannot take something that they believe in their mind and give it away as a civil right. It's not civil and it's not right. You say, Brother Parsons, you believe in civil rights? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you can't take things, you can't take everything. Listen, this is what let me tell you what the founders said. Here's what the founder said. They never dreamed that we would get to this day, right? That's what you think. They were scared to death when they wrote those papers. John Adams said in a speech to the military in 1798, after some of these things were finalized, working on the early days of our country, he was warning them. He said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other." We're in some bad way, folks, if we don't start winning people to Christ and trying to teach them the moral standards of the Bible. The freedom. I'm just going to give you what they say. I'm going to let them preach, all right? Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration, said, "The only foundation for a useful education," amen, you can put this one on all the state colleges that are out there, right? "The only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be aid in religion. Without this, can be no virtue. Without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and life of all republic governments. Without religion, I believe the learning does real mischief to the morals and principles of mankind." One of our founding fathers realized that education without Bible morals is worthless. It is tearing down society, not building it up. Listen, I could go through. I have papers full of these guys. Let me read another that I think. Robert Winthrop, Speaker of the U.S. House. "Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or by a power without them. Either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man. Either by the Bible or by the bayonet." You say, Brother Parsons, they wouldn't speak like that. If a man cannot have more, the law, I read this Wednesday night, the law was not written for the righteous man. It's written for the lawless. George Washington said, he was the general, you know who our first president. He said, "Religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society." Let me read that again so you understand it. He was really good at getting it done in one sentence. All right, "Religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society." I thought it was good that he put that essential in there. Amen. And that our president said it was essential. Amen. Benjamin Franklin, in 1778 at the Continental Congress, said this: "Whereas Oh, let me start at the beginning of it. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and, you know, vicious, he's talking about vices that men have, you know, they're given to the flesh. He says they have more need of masters, whereas true religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness. It is hereby earnestly recommended to the several states to take the most effectual measures for the encouragement thereof. Do you realize our Constitution, when we talk about separation of church and state, and again, I'm not going to get off on this because I will take off on something and it will be a tangent. I just need to say this to you today. Listen, the government, even in its early inception, said that we don't want to restrict religion, all right? We have no right to do so. We need to encourage it. And we have turned to a place where the state says, you got no business here. And our founding fathers, throughout all of the records, said if we don't have religion involved in it, we can't keep it right. And what you see, and I'll even go farther. Can I just say, this is not a democracy that we were guaranteed in the Constitution. You young people, you need to lock that in. You need to put that away. And some of you older folks that were taught that we live in a democracy, you're starting to see what a democracy will give you when you don't have, when you have people without morals. When the mob rule reigns, that's democracy. In a republic, we have rights. In a republic, we have representatives, not rulers. And we soon are headed for a time, if we don't change our ways and win some people to Christ and invest in them some morals, amen, we're headed to a place where we're going to find out just what immoral democracy looks like. And they're trying to propagate it by saying it's socialism or something else. And I'm just going to be honest with you, folks. Socialism and communism would have already dealt with that foolishness. They don't care much for your life. You're witnessing an unruly democracy trying to mob rule the rest of us. Oh, amen. I'll amen myself if I need to. Amen. Founding fathers. We had some good ones, didn't we? But let me just say this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When we allow immoral judges to sit on the platform and decide again, make a decision off of nothing, no basis whatsoever, except for their own personal and public opinion, not on the Constitution. Do you realize that their job is not to judge? Their job is not to judge what they think it said, but what it actually said. We're not supposed to be ruled by any foreign law. Their job is to look back at precedent and look at our Constitution and decide what is right and wrong, not on their own opinion. And when they divulge into their own opinion, the only reasonable thing that we have as a people is to impeach them and say they are unfit for service of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. If they want to go rule on some other country, they want to go rule with some other thing. But listen, we didn't bring them. We did not put them to work and pay them to give us their opinion. We gave them the opportunity to read the Constitution of the United States and then look at the argument in front of them and say, it is constitutional or it's not constitutional. Not to try to lay everything that they can lay into some civil rights law from the past. Amen. And listen, this next election, let me say this. The people that represent you, make sure that they have a good moral basis as well. Amen? Amen? Why? Because they're making laws. And as much as I say this, even in the college, I'll just say this for me, putting in our day school and everything else, you know, when you write a rule, you have to sit there. Not only, you need to figure out how this is going to impact, not just now, but for the future. Do you read everything I read from these guys? They were trying to correct things in the now, but they were looking way down the road when they were writing our Constitution of what could happen, what could recur, or even worrying about our defense. I'm just here to tell you, I am thankful for the founding fathers of this country, our America that we have today. But if we're not careful, we're going to allow that this group of people that are in our country today to undermine the foundations. And then what can the righteous do? Listen, I don't know why some Johnny-come-lately, Nancy Pelosi, thinks she can go through our Capitol and take down pictures of anybody that she wants that was, I mean, again, compared to her, amen, they were founding fathers. Amen? Somebody that built our country up didn't tear it down. And if you really want to, amen, I think we could find some skeletons in her closet, too, if we really wanted to. Do you know history's pretty bad? When you go back far enough, you can find some things. And I'm just going to tell you, there's not one of our founding fathers that were perfect men. Not one. They were just good men. If you want to go pick at them, you can find something wrong with them. But I can show you a whole lot of good that they did. And most of the pictures in our Capitol buildings and the verses that we find are foundational things of people that were honored for the good that they did. And if all we're going to start doing is look back at our history and pick apart people for the bad. Listen, I don't care what you think about Christopher Columbus, but I'm just here to tell you, folks, that guy believed in God and trusted God and found a brand new place and wrote it down. And we're here today, I mean, primarily because of some of that. Amen. Not because of him, amen, but I'm just here to tell you, God used him. Now, again, he wasn't perfect. But again, if we're going to go tear down every picture or statue, then we better go down and start with George Washington and everybody else that's ever had anything to do with our nation, because none of them were perfect. But when we honor men, we honor them for the good that they did, not for the bad. God help us as a nation, tearing down our history. Why? Because they want to replace it. They want to tear away the foundation and put a brand new foundation of foolishness, of immorality, of whatever goes, humanism. Worship the people. You know what Stalin did? Tear down all the statues of the past and put statues of me up. You mark my words, they'll take all them pictures down. Before long, Nancy will be putting some pictures of herself up. And maybe even a mirror to boot. I ain't seen a lady that don't love a mirror. Amen. Amen. All right, that was okay. I'm taking shots today. All right, I took a little time there, so let me just say this, and you guys turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30 for me, and I'll make my second point. We need faithful fathers, familiar fathers. We have some familiar fathers in the Word of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can go Old Testament and see some men, and I'll just say you can see them in your own life. You can see them throughout the Scripture. We could find them in Hebrews chapter 11, in the Great Hall of Faith. We could see some men who have really, I mean, invested in themselves and believe God. If we're going to change our nation, if we're going to have a nation of familiar fathers, we're going to look back and keep the foundations that we once had. If we're going to be what we ought to be today, we need to look back at some faithful fathers and emulate them. And again, not just live unto ourselves or for ourselves. But Abraham, when asked by God to step out on faith, and he went, he just believed God and he went. We need some men that'll be faithful men, that'll live for God, that'll just trust God with everything that they are. The founders, I cannot believe that there wasn't a day. Listen, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Benjamin Franklin, but he said when they were signing the Declaration of Independence, men, we will hang together in this thing or we will hang separately. But either way, we will hang. And I'm here to tell you, in the church, in unity, in mindset, in morality, we need to hang together or we'll hang separately. We must hold to the foundations. We must have faithful fathers who don't trust just in their own strength or what they can do or in a president, but turn to a holy and living God who gave us the Word of God in the church. And we need to hang in and believe in Him and live for Him and work and live and be peaceably among all men and love the brethren. We as God's people need to be faithful to the Word of God and faithful to do all that God has taught us to be, or else the foundations will be destroyed of even the church. You say, Brother Parsons, the church will still be here. Yeah, but I mean, listen to this. Faithful fathers, Jesus said, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Today in our Sunday schools, we taught on a mustard seed of faith. Where would you rate your faith today, Father? Father, where would your children rate your faith? How much do you trust in God, or do you trust in your bank account? Do you trust in God, or do you trust in somebody else? Do you trust in God? How much do your children really believe that you would lay it all on the line for something that God said and told you to do? I want to live as a faithful father. When God says go, I want to step out and do His will. I believe that every family needs a father that He says, I'm not talking about just moving across the country. I'm talking about they need to see a father at Restore-a-thon time when God touches his heart and they're sitting at the table listening to it together. Listen, you may not want, oh, my kids don't need to know what I gave. Oh, yes, they do. If they're going to see Dad be faithful, if they know that Dad's laying everything on the line for God's work. Dad believes in this, and God told him to do this, and he's going to trust God with it. Listen, not everybody's called to preach and going to move across the country to do something for God, but every one of us have an area of service that we can step out on faith and prove God in our families as fathers that love the Lord. Amen and amen. Some of the reason that the degradation of the family is because fathers have been faithless and walk by sight and not by faith in the eyes of their children. And even if you get it right when they're gone, sometimes they don't come back. Amen and amen. We have some forsaken fathers. As I turn to Proverbs chapter number 30, I want you to see here. Listen, I know that some of you have done it right. There are some fathers in this room today with broken hearts because you did everything that you knew to do. You stayed with the book. You taught your young people. Amen. You're not perfect. We understand that. I'm not perfect. There's nobody that's perfect except for the Lord Jesus. But listen, sometimes even when you do it right, you feel forsaken. You seem like they've gone the way of Cain. Can I just say, in the book, in Proverbs chapter 30, I better get there if we're going to read that verse. Amen. Proverbs chapter 30, the Bible says here, I had it marked, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. I believe that we have young people that grew up in a good, godly, independent, fundamental Baptist church, and mom and dad did all that they could and invested all they could and lived faithfully in front of them. And I believe some of them, when they became an adult, chose to go off to some university. They chose and took a different job, or they went to different places. And again, at no fault of the father, they fell in with people that gave them bad doctrine. And they forsook the teaching of their father and their mother and have fallen into foolishness, if I could call it that. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 7, you don't have to turn there. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Can I just say, we can look around in the generation of today and there's a ton of people. And maybe we're two generations from that and we're seeing the real fruit of their labor. But I know back in the 60s, in the 70s, there were some fathers that had great opportunity to either stand for God and do right, or to be a hippie with the rest of them and to live to the devil, live for their flesh. And I'm here to tell you, we're reaping the reward of that in our nation today. I know that I praise a lot of the gray-haired people that are in the room today, and some of you go back past that, but I'm here to tell you, there are some people that did not stand up, did not stand out, did not preach what should have been preached back in that day and age, and I was a little baby boy and didn't know no better, but I'm here to tell you, we have a generation today that forsaketh their father and mother. We have a generation today who will curse their father and mother. another. We have a generation today that I'm telling you right now that will stand up. Have you ever? I'd never thought as a young man that I'd ever see a group of people so audacious, young and dumb, stand up and riot against the nation and people over the smallest thing. Now, I know we've had, you know, on the West Coast, you can't help those people out there. I know. Amen. They've had some riots in the past. But I mean, across our whole country. And I'm not saying that there wasn't something that happened that wasn't right or wasn't wrong. But there wasn't anything worth rioting over. We live in a nation of free speech, and I'll echo it again what I've said in the past. Every one of us have the right to stand up and hold a sign and to protest the wrong that went on, but not to riot and to loot or to take over private property from others and claim it as our own and decide we're going to have our own free city. That's wrong, folks. Forsaken fathers. We have a nation of forsaken fathers. But there's one, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 23 today. I want to show you one that our founding fathers were good, but they were not perfect. We had some faithful fathers like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and some of our own that are in this building who were very faithful fathers and we could love, and we had some that we could say even in the building today that would claim themselves as forsaken fathers, and the kid has gone away and hopefully they'll be the prodigal and come home in the end. But I'll say this, there's a forgiving father that every one of us can look up to. And he doesn't have the shortcomings of men, and he doesn't have flaws like you and I, but he's a forgiving father who, when given the choice and needing to redeem man back into himself, gave the ultimate sacrifice for himself. And he gave his only begotten son to die on Calvary to pay for your and I sins. If I could take you to a place, I'd take you to a hill called Calvary, the culmination of the life of God the Father's Son, sent him with a purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. Just prior to this passage in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, we find the Father has done and given and said, I'm so proud of you, son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Over and over and over again, he's come to this place now, and then this son called out to his father and said, listen, if there's any way, other way, I want you to take this cup from me. But now he's at the cross. And he's gone all the way. He's been beaten. He's been spit upon. He's had his beard plucked out. All kinds of accusations made against him. And now, can I say this? Jesus looks up to his father, knowing the will that his father sent him to do. He's been beaten, spit upon. I mean, they're nailing him on the cross. And here, Jesus, I believe, still united with his father, not yet taking the sins of the world upon himself. He could sense the wrath of God building. He can sense the heart of his father breaking. And he bows his head because he knows that his father's a forgiving father. He knows that the purpose for him being in this situation is because his father's will was to have a way that he could forgive all mankind for their sin. And he prays a prayer that only a perfect son could pray. In verse 34, he says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also, with them deriding him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Can I tell you, folks, that Jesus cried out to a holy God, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe the wrath of God, close to this moment, Jesus takes the sins of the world upon himself. His father turns his back on a holy, loving, only begotten son that was only there to do his own will. And that son died upon a cruel, rugged cross for you and I.
But I'm so thankful that the Father's story didn't end there. Woo! I'm here to tell you today that that same son, by the power that his Father had given him, rose up on the third day, took captivity captive, rose up and made a blood atonement sacrifice for you and I in a temple that made with hands in heaven. And that same Jesus that cried out, Father, forgive him, still had mercy and forgiveness in his own heart. Amen. Came back and gave, for 40 days, made witness of himself in his own resurrection. I'm here to tell you, you know, that same God, that Father, that faithful Father today, that God the Father from the foundation of the world chose you and I to be saved. But he had a problem. We had sinned. And he sent his son to get the job done and died on Calvary and rose again so that not only could we have salvation, but we could have success through the local church in this life and in the next. That same Jesus. And then, if that wasn't enough, he knew that we could not keep it ourselves. And he sent a Holy Spirit to live and indwell the believer so that he could seal us until the day that he came back for us. Listen today, you say, Brother Parsons, I'm just a father. Oh, no. You know, I began in Timothy. You know, I had a good father. And I'm looking at a bunch of people, maybe you didn't have one like I had, a good dad that took me to church and loved me and taught me some things, how to work. But every one of us can have a heavenly Father who loves us and invests in us and gives us things every single day, blessings from on high, if we'll simply trust in him, put our faith and trust in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you say, well, is the greatest part the being saved, heaven as your home? No, friend. Heaven is a little bit of retirement for the believer for just a few years. You know, one of the things I loved in this life, I always dreamed and I spent time working with my dad. I love a family business. I'm just going to tell you, just waking up every day and going and doing what our family does. Amen? The church. You may work in a lot of other areas. Not everybody gets to work in a family business, but the blessing of the church is every one of us can go make money somewhere else, and then we get to come back to the family business. And we get to love what we're doing. And we get to love the people that we're doing it with. And we get to get after what our Father's main purpose is. Say, Brother Parsons, is that the way you feel? Man, I love it every day. Somebody asked me this. Couldn't get away from it. A young man, we were working yesterday for a church member, and I had some of the college guys with me. And I don't know, maybe I was, I don't know if I was just slowing down, and he could tell I was pressing on, amen, beyond myself and my several ability, amen. He said, Brother Parsons, how do you keep going? I said, there's something on the inside. And when I feel tired, I feel like, I when I start having a pity party for myself, there's a little guy on the inside. He's like a drill sergeant. And sometimes the voice I hear is my earthly father saying, boy, come on, you're better than this. Sometimes I hear the voice of my spiritual father saying, you know, that ain't right. Sometimes I hear the voice of my heavenly Father to encourage me and say, you know what? I still love you. I'm not done with you yet. You keep going. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I don't want you to think I'm crazy because I got voices in my head. Amen. I just want to tell you that I've got some fathers that when the going gets tough, I don't need anybody driving me. I don't need anybody pushing me or putting a whip to my back to make me keep on keeping on in this life. Because I have some fathers that even when my earthly father passes, I'll still hear his voice. And I'll still hear what's right and wrong. Even when my spiritual fathers in this life passed, I'll still hear their voice. And it'll echo down the road just like the founding fathers that we have for our nation. But there's one father in my life that'll never perish, never die. And it's my heavenly Father. And the one thing I need more than all the other encouragement is I love you, son. Keep on keeping on for me. Listen, as a believer today, what do I do with this message, Brother Parsons? Listen, we live in a hard time. We live in the end times of this life. And if there ever was a time that Christians needed to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's now. And if you need encouragement to be able to do that, you look up to your Heavenly Father. He's the one that sent him because he loved you enough. Shouldn't we love other people enough to continue and tell for him? Hey, if you're not saved today, he can be your Heavenly Father. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't have anybody that encourages me on the inside. I don't have anybody that I can trust. I don't have anybody like that as a father figure in my life. You can have him today because his son bought your freedom on Calvary and paid for it. And all you have to do is simply put your faith and trust in him. You say, how do I do that? Well, when we have the invitation, if you'll step out in the aisle and come down and meet me in the front, we'll have somebody take the moral standard and the way to heaven, and they'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved so you can know it. Not just guess or hope, but you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven and have a Heavenly Father. Listen today, folks. Read all kinds of stuff on fathers this week, but one stood out. Little boy, nothing breaks my heart. You can hurt me all day long, but I can't stand my kids getting hurt. I don't want my kids to be in pain. It breaks me more than if I broke myself, amen? And I read a story about a father and a son. The boy was probably 9 years old, incurable disease, about to slip out into eternity in the hospital bed. And his father was sitting on the end of the bed and knew he was saved. Knew he was on his way to heaven. And the boy said, Dad, am I going to die? His dad said, Son, you're going to go home. You're going to go home to be with the Lord, with your Heavenly Father. The son began to tear up. He said, Son, are you scared? Are you fearful? And the boy shook his head. He said, not if God is anything like you. Not if God is anything like my father down here. I'll be looking forward. I know I'll be taken care of because you're like my Heavenly Father. And I think to myself, boy, every day, I have a great Heavenly Father, but boy, I want to picture him in the role that God gave me as a dad, as a father in this life. I want them to know that they can trust the Heavenly Father because they can trust me. I want them to be able to have that. You say, I don't have that in this life. You can have it spiritually in this life if you'll simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to pray. Piano is going to begin to play, but before I pray, can I ask you this? If there's one in this building today, you don't know that you're saved, that you have heaven as your home, that God is your Heavenly Father. If you're like that today, would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you before I pray this morning? If you're like that, anyone, anywhere, would you slip your hand up? Just put it up, hold it up for a moment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you slip it up and say, Brother Parsons, pray for me. I do not know heaven is my home. All right, I don't see a hand. I'm going to pray for you anyway. I'm going to pray for those that are fathers in this room, that God would bless and keep their families and help them to be the father that they ought to be in their home. But if you're not saved, would you step out during the invitation and come meet me in the front? Maybe you need to move your membership. Maybe you need to be baptized. Any of those things you can come forward for after we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, God, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for the fathers in my life and for the founders and fathers of this country, God. But today, God, I ask you for those of us that are fathers in this current life, that you'd bless our homes, that you'd bless us and help us to live in such a way that our children can see our Heavenly Father living through us. God, I pray today if there's one lost, help them to be saved. If there's one that needs to be baptized or join the church, help them to walk the aisle and do those things that they need to do. Well, thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation's open. I'll meet you in the front if you'll step out.
Just as I am.
just stay right here. I'll call you up at church and come shake hands with you.
Just as I am and waiting not.
Waiting not.
To
step out and come. If God is put it on your heart to come and pray, the altar's open. Maybe you're holding back and you need to be saved. You need to trust in that Heavenly Father, that Son is Son to die for you. You need to put your faith and trust in Him. Come on down and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
We're Father's Day. Preached on fathers. Talked about how we have some good ones and we've had some that have forsaken their fathers, but this morning I would hate if we were in the building and we preached about Jesus and someone would forsake our Heavenly Father, forsake the gift that He gave in His only begotten Son. I beg you today, if you're here and you're not saved, don't let the day pass without accepting Him as your Savior. We'll sing one more invitational hymn. Whether you need to be baptized and join the church, whether you need to be saved, whether you need to, again, just join the church by statement, the altar's open. We'll sing one more. Brother Bert.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come,
Amen. Well, we have something to share with you, but I don't want you to be seated because I want you to come this way shortly. Jeffrey Davison has come. He's been saved, and he wants to join the church. If you'd stand right here, you can come with him. And he wants to join the church by statement. All that would accept him, would you raise your right hand? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Say aye. He was worried that you were going to tell him no. Amen. I just wanted him to get it all three ways. Amen. I want you to do this after we pray. Come down and shake his hand, or if he wants to fist bump or whatever he feels like doing today. But just make sure as you pass by that you make sure that you tell him that you appreciate him joining and being a part of our church. Amen. The church is important, isn't it? It's important that we have people that visit, join us. And some of you, as Pastor said, I'm not going to get you on you like preacher would. But many of you have visited with us, and we thank you for doing that. But we would love for you to be a member of this local church if you'd like to be. And you can do that through baptism or through doing just what Brother Davidson did here, joining the church, amen, by statement. All right, we're going to ask you to bow your heads. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Brother Rashad, would you step up and pray for us?
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die for us, Lord. And I just want to pray, Lord, that you bless the fathers this day and keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back safely. In Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.